The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
So we look at that and we see that this is often used as an example of a role model for husbands, that husbands should love their wives the way that Christ loved the church. But it also, more than anything else, it says at the end of this section that this is a great mystery, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. So it's not just given to us as a way for us to know how to love one another in marriage, but it's given to us as a way to show how he wants to interact with us and what that interaction does in our lives, that it sanctifies us, that it purifies us, that the bride of Christ, the collective body of Christ, is in the process of being purified, that every spot and wrinkle is being removed. And we need to remember that we're in that process together as the bride, that you know, the collective body of Christ, those that believe in him, that his love is transformational to us. And so when we receive that love, when we come into that place of covenant with him, we get to experience that. And honestly, talking about the love of God in this way is a radical concept. It was a radical concept in that day for sure, and it's a radical concept in this day. But before I go on, I guess I want to clarify what I mean by radical, because I want us to be on the same page. It's that word's used in a lot of different ways. But the definition that I look at when I'm talking about radical is very different from the usual or the traditional, affecting the fundamental nature of something or having a profound or far-reaching effect. That's what I mean by radical. That's what I mean by how radical his love is for us, that it's different from what is traditional or usual, and that it has a profound and far-reaching effect. So this can be a radical concept when we begin to look at being able to connect with him in an intimate way and know that the ruler of the universe has a heart that is after us collectively and individually, that he is pursuing us, that he delights in us. And really, the concept that there is a God is not really radical, even outside of the church. Outside of those that are of the Christian faith, it's believed really by the majority of people that there is some type of higher power. What is radical is that he wants to be near us. And that's the essence of what we're celebrating in this story, is his nearness. It's a radical concept that God wants to be intimately involved with our lives. And in this time, when Jesus came, that nearness had been lost for centuries. There was nearness initially at the creation of the world, and in the relationship between God and man, there was nearness. But it had been lost. And what we're celebrating is the return of that nearness. That's why it talks about that she will have a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel, which is the Hebrew word for God with us. It was the nearness of God, that he came near in that moment, and that he came near for the sake of making sure we could always be near, that we could always be with him and know his nearness. That is what is radical about this story, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords became flesh and dwelt among us as Emmanuel, God with us. Let's look at John chapter 1. And the Word, this is the Word meaning Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as if of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Skipping down to verse 16. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time except for the begotten Son, who is like God, and he has declared him to us. And so this was the purpose of him coming near, is that we would be reminded of what God is like. That we would be reminded of who he is. Jesus talked about, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I see the Father saying. And so what this verse is talking about is the one who was with the Father from the beginning of time, and Dave alluded to that as well. He was with the Father from the beginning of time, made himself lowly so that he could remind us of what God is like. And he could remind us of his nearness, his desire to be near, and make a way for that to happen. It's a radical concept. It's a radical concept, as Dave alluded to, that it would be done by making himself small. Like, really, the smallest that you could ever make yourself. Think about that. To plant the seed of humanity, God, Jesus as a man, in a very young woman who most likely would have been stoned if she wasn't protected by Joseph, who believed that what had happened to her was truly divine. That's a risk. That is a radical kind of love. That at already at 2 years of age, this God who had become man was fleeing for his human life because of Herod. When you look at the circumstances of what was going on in the world at the time when he came, what was going on for the Jews that he was born into, what was going on in history with Roman occupation, it was a dangerous time to plant a human seed and to expect for that to be able to be protected. This is radical love, that he would come as a servant, that a king would come as a servant. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And because of that, many people didn't recognize who he was, because it's not what they expected. It was different than they expected. They expected to come as a conquering hero, not a suffering savior, not a servant. So he does these things. He emptied himself. Philippians talks about how he emptied himself and became nothing so that he could be near us. He does this so that we know that he wants to be with us, that he wants to encounter us. When we spend time in worship, we have this opportunity to encounter him, to feel his nearness. And all of that is because of what happened there. All of that is because of what we celebrate this time of year. God with us is a radical concept, but he takes it even further. And he makes a promise that he'll never leave us. So, yes, he was with us, but he makes a promise that he'll never leave us, that he'll never walk away. He makes a promise that he has a covenant with us, that his heart is set on us, that I've made a covenant with you and I intend to be faithful to that covenant. That's another reason why he uses the imagery of the bridegroom and the bride, is so that we understand the covenant nature of his love for us. That is something that can never be changed, is that his heart is set on us. And it's transforming to us to know that. You know, when I got married, I remember being so blown away by the fact that my husband wanted to be near me, not just on that day, but all the days he wanted to be near me. For the rest of his entire life, he wanted to be near me, the nearest person to me, on the days when I was fun to be near and on the days I wasn't fun to be near, that he wanted that. And I would say, I can't believe, like, really, are you sure? You want to be near me always? And there's something transforming about that. When we get that understanding that he chose to be near us always, that he wants to be with us always, that verse in Ephesians talks about how he sanctifies us. He sanctifies us through his nearness, that it changes who we are, that he then can present us as a glorious bride, a spotless bride. And the same is true. There's been times when I've said to Brian, when he said, you're beautiful, And I'll say, and I don't even know why I say it, but now I know why I say it. I say, you make me beautiful. And one of the things that's true about that is that his love for me makes me beautiful. Have you ever noticed in a movie? I know there's makeup involved in this. But have you ever noticed in a movie that when the love interest happens, when someone falls in love with the woman in the movie, that she gradually becomes more and more beautiful? It's not a miracle, it's makeup. But in real life, this is true. And when we encounter this love, this radical love, it makes us more beautiful. It is the washing of the water of the word. When we begin to believe the promises, when we begin to believe what is true about us, this morning we sang about identity, about knowing who we are, about knowing that he put a ring on our finger, that he made us sons and daughters. In this imagery, that he made us the bride, that he made covenant with us, that he wants to be close to us, that he wants to be near us, that everything he did there in the manger and there on the cross that's behind the manger was about being near to us. And it makes us spotless. It makes us beautiful. The church is being made beautiful by the understanding and the encounter of his love. That's what we do every Sunday here, is we give opportunity for us to encounter who he is and what his heart is for us so that we can be transformed by that. So he wants to be near us, and he's never leaving us. And he did radical things so that we could know that there's never been anybody like me in your life. The things that he does, the ways that he loves us, because of that, we can come boldly to him. Because of that, we can live with confidence. The confidence that we have is that it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what I'm facing. It doesn't matter what I'm walking through, that he is with me and he's not leaving. My husband says to me often, you just don't believe anything bad's ever going to happen to you. Like when I don't lock my doors, or when I consider picking someone up on the side of the road or something like that. And to some degree, that's true. I should probably lock my doors. But to some degree, it's this. I've always said to him, it's not that I don't believe something bad isn't going to happen. It believes that I just believe I'm never going to be alone in it. That whatever happens, that it's going to be okay. And that's the confidence that we have. When we have a true encounter with who Jesus is, that he's near us and that he's always near us, that we can always have access to that. That doesn't mean I shouldn't lock my doors. Just saying. That is the reason I can give. In 1 Peter 3:15, it talks about always have an answer for this hope that you have. Well, that's my answer. that I know that I have confidence in his nearness to me. And we need to remember that his nearness doesn't mean that nothing bad's ever going to happen. His nearness means we'll never be alone in it. His nearness means that he's going to be working on our behalf, and that he will redeem the things that happen in our life. There, I worked that part in. That nothing is irredeemable. I was wondering how that was going to happen, so I'm glad we got there. Nothing is irredeemable. There is no circumstance. There is no struggle. There is no test. There is no trial that is irredeemable. That he is able to do that. That's why he comes near to us. That's the transforming work of what he did. The other radical part of God with us was that he took on a physical body, that he functioned in humanity. In our faith, we believe he was fully God, but that he was fully man in every way. That he took on what it means to be human. And one of the reasons that he did that is so that he could say, I understand. Not only am I willing to come off my throne and to be near you, not only will I stay with you, but I understand. And it gives us an ability to trust him in a different way. It created a bridge between us and a God that is perfect and holy, but maybe hasn't experienced humanity. It gave us an opportunity to know that he subjected himself to humanity so that he could say, yep, I've been there. I understand. Have you ever been going through a struggle and somebody who has no idea what you're going through is trying to help you? Like, parenting is like that sometimes. When I was a helpful person like that before I had kids. Like, well, if I had kids, I would blah, 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 blah. Not helpful at all. Or talking to someone about raising teenagers who's actually never experienced that. No, but there's this other thing that happens when you're with someone that's been through some of the things you've been through. You don't even have to say it out loud. You're like, yep, I know. All parents of teenagers have the same look on their face. They're like, yep, I get it. Actually, I'm fibbing. I've had really awesome teenagers. We're in round two of teenagers, and we've been really blessed. We don't believe any of the horror stories that anybody's told us, so. But we have somebody that understands in Hebrews 4. All of my little Bible tabs have fallen off of this Bible, so I have to actually remember where they are. Okay, Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. In this verse, it's referring to the high priest as one who represents us before God. It's referring to Jesus. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We do not have a God that doesn't understand. We do not have a God that hasn't experienced temptation. We have a God who understands, and it gives us boldness to be able to approach him in our time of need. So he subjected himself to humanity for us so that we knew that he's with us, so that we knew that he's never leaving us, and so that we know that he understands, that we can trust him. The thing that I've been looking for in this season, as I've been kind of contemplating this whole concept of God with us, is that I would feel that, encounter that in a really radical way. That we would encounter that in a radical way. Preparing for today, that's been my prayer. That we would know his nearness in this season in a way that we haven't known before. That he went to great lengths so that we could feel that nearness and experience it. And that we would be able to step into it in a deeper way. I think that for many of us, what that's going to look like is we may be in a situation or a circumstance where we desperately need his nearness. If you can handle another Princess Bride reference, we're about to go there. So in this one scene, as Wesley, the suitor, is with Buttercup, they're in escaping the people that are chasing them, they come to the fire swamp. And the fire swamp is this horrible place that it has fire, for one, and beasts, and pits, and all kinds of things. And Buttercup says to Wesley, "We'll never survive." And he says, "Nonsense. You only say that because no one ever has." And I feel like this is the essence of faith. This is the essence of believing in things that have never been, in believing in things that look impossible. And really what got her through the fire swamp was his nearness. And I feel like that's a place that we need to go. If you're facing we are never going to survive this kind of a moment. If you're facing a place of feeling like, I don't know how we're going to get on the other side of this. That you would experience his nearness that you would experience the faith that comes of knowing that he's with us. In that scene, he ends up saving her from a pit, rescuing her from fire, and saving her from a beast. Does that sound like anybody's testimony? Anybody's life story? I mean, really, it sounds like a testimony, doesn't it? And this is how he wants to interact with you, even in these difficult circumstances that you're in, that you would know his nearness, that you would know in every situation. Sometimes it's easy to know his nearness in this place. It's easy to know his nearness when we have worship and we're communing with him. But that in the middle of what you're dealing with, that you would know his closeness, that you would know he's with you. When you're struggling with addiction, when you're struggling with depression, when you're struggling with parenting, when you're struggling in relationship, that his nearness would be there in all of those circumstances. One of the frequent prayers in our household is just asking him to come and be near us when we're in the middle of something. I usually have instructions for the exact way that I would like him to be near. I have instructions for what I want him to do. As the ruler of the universe, I have instructions for what miraculous way he can rescue us from this circumstance. But what he's been challenging me in is, can you just invite me to be near you in this season? I can be the ruler of the universe for you, but I promise what you really need right now is my nearness. And so in this season, that we would invite him into that closeness, that we would respond to God with us by stepping into that and by being open to knowing that in a different way, because that's the radical part of Christianity. That's the part that makes Christians look odd, is that they really believe that they have relationship with God, that we believe that we can interact with him and that he cares about the affairs of our day, and that he wants to have input into what we're doing. That's what makes us look odd, really, is that interaction. And yet, it's all based on what he tells us about how he wants to interact with us. And it's based on what we've experienced. You know, everything that Jesus did, and most of what he did, you know, the radical love didn't end at the babe in the manger. Most of what he did was pretty radical. Jesus was a radical in the truest sense of the word. He went out of his way to break the rules a little bit. He broke religious rules. He broke social rules. He broke cultural rules. He talked to women that he wasn't supposed to talk to. He healed on the day of the week that he's not supposed to heal people. He talked to the tax collectors and murderers, and it was radical, the things that he did. And again, all of this was to say, yep, that person, I want to be near them too. And that person, I want to be near them. He made a way for nearness for everyone to be able to experience that. It was a radical way that he came. He came near to people that were ostracized from society. He came near to adulterers and prostitutes. It was a radical love. And what he did in that is that he confronted the culture of the day to remind people of who God really was and what he was really like. That God was for the broken. That God was for the lonely. That God was for freedom, for people that didn't believe they should ever really be free. And so this is the piece where we get to begin to look at, how do we respond? Here's the way that God wants to interact with us. So what does that mean then for how we interact with other people? What does that mean? How do we, because now we're the ones who get to demonstrate that radical love. We get to demonstrate what nearness looks like. Anything that we're doing, when we are going out and we want to pray for someone in the supermarket, is God saying, I'm near. When we talk about praying for healing, our desire to see signs, wonders, and miracles, when we're going to be sending out pastoral healing teams into people's homes, it's because we want them to know that God is near, that he wants to be near them, that he wants to be with them. And not only does he want to be near you by you getting healed, but he wants to be near you while you're still waiting to get healed. And that's the essence of what we're going to be doing. When we meet in our homes together to look at his word and to sing and to pray for one another, we're ushering in the nearness of God. And so this is our response to that extravagant love. This is our response to the nativity story and the risk that he took, that we will, for the sake of others, bring God near to them. Because we carry that. We carry who he is. He's near us. He's with us. He's never leaving us. But there's a lot of other people that need to know that nearness. And so this is our radical response, that we would confront the culture of the day to remind people who God really is. That we would be willing to look a little nuts in our the way that we interact with our God who's near us all the time. That we'd be willing to step out of the societal norms of how we approach people. It's a tough one for me. I have a lot of societal rules about what's my business and what's not my business. But I have neighbors who need me to make it my business, who just need to know that he's near. And I don't even have to talk about him for them to know that he's near. It can be as simple as inviting them in at a time when they just really need that, or having coffee with someone, or blessing them with food when they need it, or whatever it is. The secondary prayer that I have today is that we would, besides knowing his nearness, that we would know how to make his nearness known to others in this season. That we would have opportunities where we go, this is a chance for God with us to show up, for people to know his nearness. In John 17, 18, Jesus is praying, and he says, as you sent me into the world, he's talking to God the Father, because he's still here on earth, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be sanctified. And this is again the essence of how transformational his love is. That he's making us sanctified, but not just for our own sake, but for the sake of being able to demonstrate his nearness to the world. It's going to take radical love to demonstrate this truest of all loves. And that's what the Lord's asking us to step into. I've had an opportunity, many of you know because you've supported us in this, I've had an opportunity to work in a women's prison on a weekly basis through the Prison Fellowship Program. And it's interesting to me how many of our different kind of ministries are intersecting in the prisons right now. That we have the Affirming You, that where we're writing Christmas cards to inmates, no, birthday cards to inmates that are specialized, a specialized greeting to them, and how powerful that is. Right now, we're getting ready to do an Angel Tree outreach where we're bringing gifts to the children of inmates, that inmates have the opportunity to ask for certain gifts to be given on their behalf. And we have this relationship class that we've been teaching. This is now going to be our third quarter. And the amazing privilege of this is that I get to go in to a place and watch God come near. I get to go into a place and watch him encounter the broken and the condemned and the cast aside. And yes, they are, for the most part, drug dealers and prostitutes and murderers and violent offenders and fraudulent and all the other things that you go to jail for. But they get to experience his nearness. And I get to see it transform who they are. And I get to see the verse that says that he is sanctifying them, that he would present to himself a bride who is spotless. And I just want to remind us that they're part of us. They're part of the bride. Those that believe in him but that are struggling, and that can be across the world, it can be in this prison. And what I see is that radical love transforms them. More than anything else, I know when I come in, it takes a couple times with a new group for them to let their guard down. And I know that more than anything else, what I have to do with them is be real. Because they are experts at seeing anything that's not real. And so I work really hard at, okay, I have to just be real. I have to, not like it's really hard work, I'm just saying. Like, I don't spend a lot of time not being real. But I want to be really real and genuine with them. And it's amazing how that transforms them. Just for them to feel the nearness of God in the midst of this. My class is specifically about how to have healthy relationships. And to a one, this is not something that they've experienced. This is not something they've experienced growing up. This is not something that they've experienced in their romantic relationships. Most of them, women, for a large part, are in prison because of relationships. Because they continue to be involved in relationships that are going to lead them into a path of criminal activity and thinking. And so this is huge to them, to get an understanding of what that's meant to look like. What true love actually looks like. And so we have this opportunity to watch as they encounter who they really are. As they encounter the nearness of God and him speaking into their life who they really are and what they're really worth. And we watch as he smooths out thinking distortions and he removes the stains of shame. And as he becomes a father to them, they connect with that concept of really having a father, because most of them don't. But first of all, I want to thank you for your partnership in this. This is something that you guys partnered in for our last quarter of this class. We had 8 women that went through the class. And for those of you that sponsored one of the women to go through the class, I didn't have your email addresses. That's something I'm going to collect this time. But I do have a packet of testimonies that if you sponsored one of the women, I'd love for you to come up and grab it from me afterwards so that I can give you that, because it's just some of the testimonies of what they were able to share about how the class impacted them. But more than anything, what they talk about is recognizing that they don't have to settle. Recognizing that they're worthy of love that is not taking from them, but that's also giving to them, and recognizing that they've been takers and learning how to be givers in love. This is a huge thing, and it transforms the way that they think. It transforms their relationships with their kids. A lot of them have kids that they maybe have some regular visitation for. But this is a place where we get to see how radical love transforms. And this is what reminds me of how beautiful this story is this morning. And if we want to encounter that love, one way to do that is to get somewhere where it's just really needed. And so I encourage you to allow the Lord to encounter you with his love in a unique way during this season, and to ask him for opportunities to bring him near to other people throughout this time. I'm going to close in prayer here in just a second. We have another quarter of this class coming up, and so there's an opportunity to sponsor another 10 women to be able to go through the class. So after I pray and dismiss, I'm just going to, maybe Brian actually will start, but after I pray, there's a clipboard and then the little hearts with the women's names on it are underneath there. So if you want to sponsor a woman to be able to go through the class, it covers the workshop fee of the workbook and the tool book that they get for utilizing some tools in communication and reconciliation and connecting with the Lord in a different way. It's just been a powerful thing in my life. So I drive to Shakopee, and I'm really looking forward to winter for that drive, not a lot. And so every so often in the middle of it, we go, man, you know, this is just a long way to drive. But there's an aspect of it that is, it's a piece of radical love. And there's something released in that. And we're hoping to train up some people in that area. So far, we don't have any takers. But we're hoping to train up some people that can also teach this class, because that's another piece of what we want to do, is we want to duplicate what it is that we're doing. So pray for that, so that some people would step up and step into that. But it's so worth it. It would be hard not to do it, because it's so worth it, what we see, the transformation that we see in their lives and how it affects them and how it affects me. It's an amazing thing to be there when God comes near to someone for the first time and when they really experience what that is. So if you want to sponsor somebody, you can see Brian up at the tree when we're done here. The other thing is that after we dismiss, we have prayer teams up front that are able to pray for you. If you have a prayer need, if you need healing, if you just need someone to stand with you, if you just need God to be near in your situation, to come up and allow them to pray for you. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your nearness. We thank you for your radical, extravagant love. We thank you for this season that we celebrate God with us, that God's never leaving us, and that you understand us. And we ask, God, that you would help us to encounter your nearness in a different way this year. That this would be a year of really knowing you in a deeper way, in feeling your presence, in seeing you transforming your bride. We ask you that you would allow us, as we encounter your radical love, that we would exhibit your radical love, that we would love extravagantly the way that you have loved. We thank you for your love for the church, your bride. We thank you that you sanctify her with your word, and that she's becoming glorious on the earth. We pray that there would be an impact in the coming year, that as a body, we would be able to have an impact in an even greater way because of your nearness. We pray that you would bless this time of coming together as family and friends. In Jesus' name, amen.